A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about personal lubrication, the science of what are the best types, what it does for your sexual activity, and different studies around literally lube. So it's a more adult episode today. Before that, we're going to do our What Did We Learn This Week's about Leonardo DiCaprio's snake and a simple way to not be stressed. And so we realized that we put time signatures in the podcast, but then ads mess up the time signature for if you want to skip ahead to the lube part.
What do people do for that?
Wait, time signature? Because there are time signatures. I see them in podcasts
know,
all the time.
I thought so, too.
Does
we're
it
so
know?
Bad at this. We've been doing this for so long, and we're like just discovering how to do this. No, I think it's just like, okay, they are rough time signatures. Because if there's like, everyone gets a different amount of ads based on you and who you are. So like, if we're saying the video episode or the episode, main episode starts at 20 minutes, it might be like 21:30. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, like take a guesstimate. But I...
when none I was, of y'all who are listening to this are skipping, I know.
Also, mom, family people, this is an episode you skip. Because
oh yeah,
this
is an adult episode. So if you have young kids around... unless you're happy for them to learn about, like, this is sexual education.
Yeah.
It's important. It's good.
It is actually
it's more
important.
Like family, like, just probably turn the, yeah. these ones off.
Like, I just picture myself being, like, in a family, like road trip growing up, being like, oh, I have a podcast to put on, and putting it on and being like, this is actually hell, just sitting around listening.
I think the title would have been a giveaway for this episode.
Yeah.
To
oh,
not
let's put
be
on the lubrication
one.
Episode. Yeah. I mean, it is really interesting. Sexual health is, it's so weird.
Important.
It's important, but it's so weird how it doesn't. It's easy to skip over if you're like a science communicator because like algorithms take them down and stuff like that.
Yeah, like it could get flagged as inappropriate content
yeah.
or as not monetizable. As
and
say.
When you talk about lube, you can only really talk about sex. Like yeah. it's not used for much else.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been an issue on especially places like YouTube, like sex educators getting clumped in with sexually inappropriate stuff.
Yeah.
But even though they're not, they're fully educational and appropriate for whatever age group they're speaking to. But anyway...
well, so okay, it is now.
That. I learned a lot.
It is now Wednesday, 3 days after the Rihanna halftime Super Bowl.
Oh, you mean like for the people listening? I was yes. like, Greg, it's not Wednesday.
Yeah, so for us, it is Friday, 3 days before the Rihanna halftime Super Bowl, which I am thinking about a lot. I watched her live on TikTok. So at this point, it's happened. But
yeah,
for
if you
us,
if you are... listening to this, it means you've already either watched Rihanna perform or you've just heard all about it at this point.
And if you haven't watched her perform and you instead watched the game, whoa.
And then you came and listened to Side
like,
Note.
That is interesting. Reach
you
out.
You need to message us. Yeah, yeah this know. Is like getting back to the straight guys who reached out for us. What was that on like anal sex or something? Like,
no, eating ass.
Oh, eating ass. Okay. Yeah, well, it's not like that different.
No, but I mean, like, it was straight guys who were getting their butts played with by their girlfriends. Anal sex is... straight guys having anal sex, that's interesting. That's getting pegged.
Oh, I see. Well, they could be giving it. True. But interesting. It's still an interesting... will be an interesting cross-section if you're somebody who listens to this podcast and did not watch the halftime show, but did watch the football game.
Does anyone do that? Because I know numerous people, every single person I know, will just watch the halftime show. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm trying to figure out what bar we should go to just watch the halftime show. But there's no way that you're someone who watches like, the game like, and wouldn't watch Rihanna.
Unless like you have a ritual like going to make a bunch of food at halftime or something.
That is insane. It's Rihanna. Okay. So just predictions. And then it'll be funny to see if any came true.
I think she'll sing some of her songs.
Oh, he's right.
I don't really know. Like, I'm not like so into this in the same way you are. It's not that I'm not into it. I just mean like halftime Super Bowl shows never really like are that alluring to me. Some of them are good.
But you're gay.
I know. And retroactively, I choose the ones I like. But in the moment, I'm not like so hyped. And I really like Rihanna as an artist, but I have not seen that many live performances of her where I was like, that's one of my favorite performances. Versus seeing like Lady Gaga or Beyonce or even like, well, I'm thinking of like the Shakira of Super Bowl was really good. I hadn't actually
Shakira and J-Lo. Don't erase J-Lo or she will murder
you. Oh, sorry. I was just thinking of like that. Like tongue.
Yeah. No, it was great.
Anyway, all I mean is I don't like Rihanna necessarily for her live performances. Not that it means I don't like her.
Yeah.
It just means I like her for her music more than the other stuff. So I am curious if she'll like, quote unquote, pull it off for me.
Wow. So if the Navy's listening, just remember that he said he does like her music.
Oh, no, I do. And I'm not saying I don't like her performances. I'm just saying I don't have that much experience watching her performances. Where I've seen like so many Beyonce performances and I'm just always like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. We got tickets to the Beyonce concert. Sorry, everyone, if you didn't. And we also got them through a friend. Like I actually never got the code. I almost flipped my table and threw my computer.
Yeah, Greg was depressed for like 6 hours.
But got
what are your predictions?
You know the part of, have you seen that Rihanna like meme / video where she's like and like vibrates really fast?
I think
it's like
so,
we can't be casting and turn. I can't. And she vibrates. So many people are being like, she has to. So, prediction number one, she does the vibrate, kind of the way Dua Lipa leaned into her like bad dance.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be incredible. I don't think Rihanna's going to do that. She seems like way too cool. Like, she obviously has a sense of humor, but I don't think she's going
like, to that level. Yeah. That will be fun, though.
I think Jay-Z maybe
will like come out as a special guest.
Well, just like thinking about how, like, integral he's been to her career and all the songs.
Is All of the Lights is a Kanye West song, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, no, I just like hear her voice on it.
Oh,
you don't have to like look at me like that.
No, I love that. I'm like, oh my god, we're canceled.
No, I don't know pop culture.
I love and I saw her singing like three Kanye because she has them.
Yeah, and I saw a viral TikTok that was like the best way for her to start, apart from it being a Kanye song, was that it's pitch black and it goes, all the lights in here, baby. And one half of the stadium turns into like bright, like white lights. And then they turn off. And then it goes, extra bright, I want y'all to see this. The other half of the stadium turns on. And
your voice is so good at singing. I was just kind of like, keep going.
Oh, in that moment, I was like, my voice is messed
up. Wait, someone said that'd be a good idea recently because that is Kanye West and that is not the right time.
I know. It was outside of the realm of it being a Kanye song, but she would just start the concert that way, and then she would like come up, and the light would just
that
be
would
there,
be
and
cool.
then she could go into something else.
Yeah, she's not going to do the Paul McCartney Kanye West song either.
Oh, yeah,
I think I've had enough.
So, what do you think she'll start with then?
I mean, we found love in a hopeless. Like, I feel like that song is like so like everyone loves like your dad, your mom, wedding song. That maybe could start with that, but it could also be.
It's
Bally.
A hard. It doesn't. Yeah, I feel like that song doesn't have the hard start.
It'll be like a good amp up to have,
or
like
in some.
The, yeah, whenever like, there's like, because she only has 13 minutes and she has 48,000 hits, so it's gonna be tough.
It's
and she
insane.
Better not sing the song from Black Panther.
It's insane for people to be listening to our predictions after they've seen it. They're probably just like, shut up. We've already watched it.
Okay, so like, What's My Name is going to be great. Maybe Drake will be there.
That's how it could start for sure.
Oh, na-na.
And
what's,
then the audience
name?
Goes, what's my name?
Yeah, and it's like,
and it's just
Rihanna.
Like, free, silent.
Yes.
In between. Oh, na-na. Silence.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And then she goes, "What's my name?" Yeah. And just stares at the crowd for like 50 seconds.
Okay, so we're saying "What's My Name" is the start. Actually, "We Found Love in the Hopeless Place" is not going to be my prediction for the end. Because okay. What an incredible yeah. Calvin Harris-y type, like, yeah. bah, 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 like that beat. And then, "Hey boy," really, oh my God, she's so good. Okay. Honestly, it's just too much, but that's where we'll leave it.
Okay.
"What's My Name" to start, "We Found Love in a Hopeless Place" to end. And I'm just very excited.
Me too. I hope she kills it. I hope that she does a really good job and that it becomes one of the iconic Super Bowl performances yeah. that we'll watch back over and over because we are, in fact, gay.
Number one is Beyonce for me.
Yeah, one is hands down Beyonce. And honestly, like, to me, none of the others compare. I feel like we talked about this on the pod before, so it is. I don't need to reiterate
And
myself,
it is something that gay men do probably once a month. Just go through them all.
I've seen TikToks of people being like, "When I'm with my queer friends," and they're all just sitting around a TV watching Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Queer friends. And then like number two is like the Coldplay one because Beyonce's there for like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, and you just like skip to that part.
And when she almost falls and doesn't, it's like, you're amazing. Yeah. Like the way she catches herself in the heels. Okay, anyways, we're done.
Okay, we're ready to go.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So,
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Mine's about like being stressed. The question is, and I know I always start with the question, so this is rhetorical, it's not for you. Okay. Do you feel stressed? Do you feel lonely or isolated? You know why I ask a question?
That sounds like an ad for BetterHelp.
I know. This is not an ad. I realize the reason I ask a question is sometimes I'm like designing it in a way in my mind that if it were to be a short TikTok or something, I'm always thinking like, what's the first sentence that actually makes people think about and engage with what you're about to talk about.
Okay, so ask it one more time.
Like, I'm moving on. Okay. So what I have to say is like, if there was a magic pill or something simple you could do that could deal with stress, would you take it? Would you do it?
Well, I don't know, because then if I'm never stressed, would I like get hit by a car? Like if I was never
I mean like emotional mental stress of daily life. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's something very simple you can do every day that will minimize your stress and like increase your well-being. Imagine.
For echinacea tea.
Imagine. Okay. So there were three studies with over 900 participants. I believe they were all university age. And the studies were done before, during, and after the pandemic lockdowns. So it's not just because of isolation from pandemics and stuff like that. And basically, every different person was given a type of engagement to communicate with other people. So like...
Whoa. I'm sorry. Confused.
Okay. Basically, if you were a participant, you were told, like, we want you to engage with your friends in X way, Y way, Z way. And we're going to try and categorize, like, is there a certain way that engaging with people can increase your well-being?
Okay.
Is sort of the purpose of the study. They're trying to figure out what kinds of communication impact well-being. So, for example, like, what happens if you just listen to your friend or somebody? What happens if you were to tell jokes to somebody? What happens if you were to compliment them? Versus what happens if you were to have, like, a meaningful conversation? Is there, like, a difference between these? Are they helpful to your well-being? But ultimately, what the study ended up finding was that the actual act itself didn't matter, and simply reaching out to a friend and connecting would predict having higher happiness, better overall well-being on that day. So if you...
And lower stress.
Okay. Well-being was like the opposite of stress, basically.
Just reaching out to a friend.
But this was face-to-face. So they were like, any simple act of just talking to your friends in this study would unequivocally make people feel better.
And not necessarily the friend that made you stress if you're like in a fight.
Fair. Obviously that's different. Like these were types of communication that are deemed positive.
In person's probably important too, because I bet the easy way is you text a friend and it's like, that's not gonna
happen. I think it was like purposeful engagement with a friend, and they said,
grab a coffee.
Once is enough, but the more, the better. So like if you just want to like engage with a friend in a real way once a day, you will feel happier. Whoa. But obviously the more you do that, the better you feel.
That's so like feels easy to do. But
yeah. And it was, they were able to see that it wasn't just people who already had great fulfilling lives. The study showed that anyone who makes quality time for connections can improve their well-being. My thought was also like, so much of self-help is really focused on yourself, which obviously this study is still like, how can you help yourself? But the answer is like by engaging with other people and listening to them or talking to them. And that might be about yourself, but listening to a friend was one of the types.
It would
of
probably be nicer if it's not even about yourself. Exactly. If you're stressed about something and just going, it's like a distraction.
Yeah, I recently was listening to a episode of what's it called?
The Happiness.
No, like the other one. The what's that podcast called with Sean Carvedanthan? What's his name?
Oh, Hidden Brain.
Thank you. About happiness, and
they're like, if you try to pursue it,
Who think about their happiness a lot tend to be less happy. Like, and if you focus on yourself, it's like when people focus on other people, they tend to be happier.
Yeah, I listened to that episode too, and it was like, I find the podcast episodes sometimes to be so long.
They love to add a story. They're like, the first 15 minutes, like, I mean, speak of the devil.
Yeah, we're like, it's really crazy that they do stories about the episode, but we're actually going to talk about Rihanna for 15 minutes.
No,
and that
but it reminds
sense.
Me so much of a science book where you're like, I get it. Sometimes having a story can actually meaningfully impact like how you perceive what we're about to talk about, but sometimes it's there to fill the episode.
Yes, and I think that what I found about that episode too was it was a lot of jargon to say that if you independently try and work on your happiness, it won't work. But you truly kind of what you just said, have to just reach out to friends and do things for other people. And then that's when you realize you'll be happier, is when you stop trying to focus on yourself, which is interesting because I think we are in the era of like going on TikTok and it's like, have a bath, like do a calm
self-care
meditation.
Self-care is very self-focused.
It's self-focused when really it actually may feel harder. And in some ways it is to reach out to a friend. But it's probably more effective, and in some ways can also be easier, and especially if it's not effective to do things on your own for yourself.
It's my least favorite thing about life, that the things that obviously are the most effective are the hardest to do, or mentally to get to them. Like, even working out is so great for you, but to go work out is the hardest. I know now, and I've been like noticing it in my life. When I hang out with my friends, even for half an hour, I feel better. But sometimes to go to them, it would be so much easier to just turn on a bath. You know what I mean? And be like, I'm just going to like turn off in this way at home and lounge. Eat, because it's like kind of exhausting.
Oh, no, we were going to hang out with friends tonight, but now we're not because I feel sick. Is that bad?
Thanks a lot, Greg.
No, but then I'm like, I guess it is bad to show up and maybe get someone
It's
sick.
Also more important not to spread a sickness. Right. And like, it's also is okay to spend time alone. This is not saying never do things that are self-focused. It's just saying a great way to feel better is to engage with those around you.
I mean, it is, that's really interesting, and it makes sense, and just like reach out to a friend if you're stressed and maybe put down the self-help book.
Unless it's talking about selflessness.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about Leonardo DiCaprio's snake.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel like, oh God, I wish mine was more like giving. Mine's like drag. Well, I just thought this was so weird. So these scientists found a new snake in Colombia. And Ecuador and Panama.
Okay.
And they realized it was a new snake because of its eye color. It was like this cool snake that eats snails.
I love that. Oh, look at its beautiful eye.
Well, they were like, it looked like another snake. They're like, oh my God, the eyes are different. This is a new species of snake. Exciting. And then the article just, without even like explaining why, was just like, and Leonardo DiCaprio got to name the snake. So,
that's so weird.
It's now called the DiCaprio snail eating snake, this brand new species. Leonardo DiCaprio says he wanted to name it after his mom. And they were like, it's just because
which part's named after his mom?
The DiCaprio.
The snail?
Well, then I was
wait, is that his mother's name?
I know. I honestly, the whole time I started to find more, like, tried to find more information. It was all just glowing press releases. Like, new snake found. Leonardo DiCaprio, because of his, like, constant, like, awareness of bioconservation, gets to name. I'm like, where's the pipeline of new species to calling Leonardo DiCaprio, like, why is that the first person that gets
it's called money?
But it's so weird because it's like it was just discovered. It's like, is he caught on the speed dial of new discoveries?
He probably did give money or was part of some effort that maybe he was part of the reason why they found it, because he had funded some initiative.
Like, I just think of the scientists who are like in the depths
of
the jungle.
Why isn't
being
it their name?
Being like, get Leo on the phone. We got a new, like, I just, it's so funny to me because it's like there's no part of this that's like, not like, well, of course he named it.
You know how like we're slowly realizing so many like street names and schools are named after like, you know, crazy colonizers and stuff. Like, one day we're all going to be like, okay, all of these animals, we have to change their name. Homo sapiens, that's bad. We need to change it. Like, we're gonna start realizing they're named after like awful people.
Yeah.
Because Leo's a red flag for me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, cool, fine. Yeah, I appreciate that he does give some of his money to conservation. Like, yeah. I'm not saying that's bad.
No.
But I mean, he just is like, gives off to me this vibe of like, I don't know, you shouldn't be able to buy yourself out of that.
I know. And he also is like, giving like,
have you seen all the memes of like how young that woman is he's dating? Yes.
So I was like, I know, when it was like he's bringing awareness to bioconservation, I'm like, really? Because I think he's just bringing awareness to dating young girls. Yeah. That's all people seem to talk about with him. And even he does the whole like, it doesn't help the climate crisis movement to have people like him who are super famous, who do have lifestyles. Like, he obviously he owns a yacht, and it's like, that's just crazy. Like,
yeah,
Greta Thunberg is where it's at. She's like at, a way like, better representation roots, like of, yeah, yeah. She's and like, I'm gonna sail across the ocean.
Obviously the biggest challenge is like, no person can perfectly represent, right? Like, especially, I don't know, it's like one of those things where no matter what, even Greta's gonna be criticized at some point for something she did where someone goes like, she drank almond milk instead of oat milk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he of all people.
Yeah, or it's sort of like, he's someone who I'm like, you need to do this
quietly.
Exactly. You need
to do it because you actually care,
and you need to like make fun documentaries where other people narrate them, and you need to not be like on the phone line being like, it's a DiCaprio snake. Like, let that be someone else's snake, because you're so rich, and like, the more you sort of like take over the fact that you are constantly bringing awareness, the less it's going to be easier for people on the other side to digest, because they're just like, you're super rich, and you're also the most like, if I were to like shut my eyes and someone was like, white man, it's like you know what I mean, it's like he's like fedora wearing, like Miami clubbing, like he's not giving and he's like, even like every role he plays, it's like, yeah,
I don't mind him as an actor, it's not even that, I just think exactly what you're saying, I don't think he needs to be the face of climate change in any way or conservation.
Yeah,
it's like, there A, are other better people for that, and B, I don't think there should be a person who's like the face of it.
Yeah,
but it's like, totally. There are certainly people like, you know, David Attenborough, you're like, you've spent your life like narrating shows about how beautiful the planet is. That's cool, but I don't think he's not trying to be like, name it the Attenborough, whatever.
And he's not clubbing in Miami and dating a 19-year-old. Like,
and he doesn't
like,
have a yacht.
Yeah, exactly. There's other parts of Leonardo DiCaprio's life that it's like, they're red flags.
They're contradictory
to these other things. And I still think he probably has a lot of motivation and wants to help. And it's like, okay, just do it quietly. And I wish that this DiCaprio snail eating snake was named after the scientist that found it.
Yeah.
Anyways, weird, but apparently it's a really cute snake and has like no vicious like
tendencies.
It's like super adorable, so it's like, okay, cool.
Other than eating snails, which are also adorable.
Yeah, escargot.
It has no vicious tendencies, just absolutely demolishing and eating snails. All right, shall we take a break and come back and talk about lube? Speaking of snails, they feel like lubey. I mean, like,
oh my god, I was like, how? Okay,
right? Yeah. They're slimy.
Yeah, slimy. Yeah.
Which button is it again?
Go for it. Let's see.
Camp. I always push the wrong one. Okay, we'll be right back.
It's Friday when we're recording this, and Mitch and I love to wind down with a bottle of wine. The thing is that we don't really know what to do when it comes to buying wine. Today's podcast is brought to you by the hardcore wine people at Last Bottle Wine. So if you haven't heard about these guys, they're a Napa Valley-based online wine shop, but with a twist. They offer just one hand-picked wine per day until it sells out, often in hours. So new day, new wine, always at incredible prices. We're talking 30 to 70% off the retail price. They taste through hundreds of wine each month to find you only the best, most exciting bottles. The best part, there's no subscription, no fees, no minimum purchase, etc. Just a daily email with a really great wine. So we're offering Side Note listeners 10% off your next order with the code Side Note. So sign up at lastbottlewines.com to find out why Last Bottle is the most fun way to discover and buy killer wine. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is now February when we're recording this. It's dark out. It's gray out. The weather in Toronto is awful. It is affecting my mental health. And I really feel it's at times like these that it's important that I'm going to therapy and have a therapist. Therapy can help you learn to cope with different things going on in your life, even just seasonal affective disorder, even just feeling down in these winter months, trying to figure out what is going on. It is important to talk to someone. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists easily anytime for no additional charge. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/sidenote to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/sidenote.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study
time. Okay. We are talking about lubrication, in particular, personal lubrication. So we're not talking about, you know, a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Or, isn't there like a franchise called Mr. Lube?
Yeah. We're not talking about getting your car lube. I don't.
Wow. It's like, really not about that. I don't even know what that even is. In your car needs lube.
Yeah.
Actually, now I'm like, okay, no, moving on. We're not going to talk about the French film where the girl has sex with the car.
So as we said, this will be like, not like R-rated or anything, but obviously adult conversations. We're talking about lube as it relates to sort of like sex and, you know, fornication.
So personal lubricants are specialized lubricants used during sexual acts to reduce friction. So we're talking about those ones.
Yeah. And interestingly, the lube market in this case is worth $400 million.
Oh.
Which actually, I was like, that's not that
that's
much.
That's not that much. That's like a Marvel film.
I know.
Gets like triple that.
Which was kind of surprising.
Well, that's interesting.
At first, I was like, wow, $400 million.
It's all about the way you say it. $400 million. It's like,
I mean, that is a lot, obviously.
I don't think it's that much considering this. What this research made me think is lube is good.
Oh, interesting. Because like, I have some counterpoints. I'm not saying it's not good.
Me too. I have some as well. Okay. But
wait till the end of the pod.
No, it's like, please don't turn this off and think that it's bad. But I do think what this research made me think about is sex education, being like, people need to know that lube is important. Because I maybe don't think it's the first thing that you think about buying when you're thinking about being sexually active.
True. And it's like condoms, especially when you're young, incredibly embarrassing to buy. Like it feels that way. Like you don't, like literally one of the first times I ever bought lube and condoms, my like next door neighbor of childhood was behind me in line. And I was like mortified.
I know. See, I used to be mortified, but now I put it there with confidence being like, yeah, I'm having sex. Like I put it down with like, yeah, you betcha, he's getting laid.
I still but get I embarrassed.
Oh, really? But it's a sign of being sexually active, which is like cool.
I know, but then you're like, it's like a teen at the counter when you're like checking out.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I mean, oh,
not
yeah,
necessarily. Yeah. I'm just, there's a lot of moments where I'm like, I don't want to have to like engage. Like if it's somebody my age who like I identify with, then fine. I'm like, hey, yeah, we're all on the same page. But if it's somebody who's like outside of my demographic, I feel like severely uncomfortable.
Maybe it's because I've had to buy like hemorrhoid cream and other things that are more embarrassing in like parts of my life that I'm like, this is now
I've had to do
cool.
that too. But I also like anytime I have to buy anything like sex related, I will also buy. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm grocery shopping today.
I guess we're getting Doritos. Yeah, you're gonna. They're like, you're like, oh, whoops. Oh my God. Sorry. Oops. I don't know why this is here, but I guess
might
I'll
well
buy
get
it.
It. Okay, right, so where do we start?
Well, what I found was interesting was that a lot of people might think that using lube, especially in heterosexual sex, which a lot of these studies are on, like, are a sign that something's wrong. Oh. So it's like people are like being told like, why would you need lube? Because
you have like natural lubrication kind of thing.
Yeah. Whereas I think what like a lot of these studies found is that it pretty much always increased the comfort that people with vaginas felt when they were having sex. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's really important to understand that like you can't just expect. And they were also saying for a variety of reasons, people with vaginas might have like lower like natural lubrication because of like stress, hormones, like so many different
you just
things.
Be dehydrated
that, are normal.
That day.
Yes. And so it's kind of like, I don't know. I think it's important for people to not think that using lube is
like
a sign
deficiency.
Of something wrong. Because in fact, what they have found is it made people both, if you're thinking of like a heterosexual, whatever, people with penises and vaginas, when lubrication was used, in the study that I found, it was like,
felt positive about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 70% of people said that when they used lube, it made their sex feel more pleasurable and comfortable. That's people with penises and vaginas.
Okay.
And then this was a study, another study specifically just on women, around 3,000 women age 18 to 68, and 72% said that it contributed to higher ratings of pleasurable, satisfying sex.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
It's like, that's good. Like, I don't know. I kind of.
Yeah, at the bare minimum, having an increase of pleasurable sex, that's good.
And I feel
especially like, if it's as it's related to pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, if the other option is being like, oh, I'm embarrassed to use it because it means that something's wrong with me and now I'm suffering through pain and all these things, it's like, that's weird. And the WHO's working definition of sexual health is the state of physical, emotional, and mental and social well-being in relation to sexuality. It's not nearly about the absence of disease, dysfunction, and infirmity. It's also about, like, literally just, like, feeling good about it. So it's like,
start that sentence again. I kind of missed what you were saying at the beginning.
Essentially, like, the WHO's definition of, like, sexual health, it's not just about, like, STIs and all these things. It's about actually making sure people have physical, emotional, mental, and social happiness, good feelings during sex.
Yeah.
And if lube is contributing to that, these studies are kind of like,
that's a positive thing.
It's a positive. Yeah. It's like, maybe the 400 million industry should be 600 million or free. Maybe it should be free.
Right. Or at least like education around it. If it gives people mental health in their sexual endeavors, then that's worth investing in for people to know, like, and destigmatize having lube accessible.
Yeah. Just like as a gay man, like, lube is in our lives for a variety of reasons. Cause it's like, I don't have, quote unquote, the ability to lube my ass. So I, like, just feel naturally bad that if people's vaginas are feeling like they have to be doing it naturally, and if they don't, it's a sign of something bad. I'm like, that sucks. Because a lot of these studies were saying that's what kind of the way some people are told or thought.
That makes sense. I've never really thought about it before because I don't have a vagina, obviously. And I think you're right. It's easier when you're having anal sex. It's just kind of not always expected, but primarily expected that lube will be used. That it's just like a, this is just how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, when you're kind of like, well, maybe there's this choice and maybe it's like, maybe lube isn't so handy, so we're just going to do it though. Whereas, like, that's way harder if you're going to be doing it up the butt. You know what I mean? It's not that you can't, and people use like spit and other things, but like, it is more expected to be pleasurable for both ends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're going to use lube as use anal sex.
What was interesting was that another like meta-analysis found that the only study found that some people who said it made them feel worse was gay men who were receiving anal sex.
Okay, I think I read this same study and was so confused by this.
It was so confusing because then they said overall people said it helped better both ways. I know.
Yeah, okay. I literally decided not to include that study, not because it was bad. It was like a meta-analysis of all lubrication, right? And the part about gay, it was like gay by men. At first it said men who used lube in their most recent encounter said it hurt more.
It hurt more.
But it's not
when they were receiving anal sex.
Yeah, but then like two sentences later, it was like, but both receiving and giving was less painful.
I think what it was like they, okay, overall, they said the study wasn't that good because it was just surveys.
Mm-hmm. All self-reporting.
It was all self-reporting. And it was like, I think that what they were saying was there was a variety of questions about timeline. So when they were asked about their most recent sexual like experience, for whatever reason, a significant amount of people, it was like 40% or 30% of men who had bottomed said it had made them feel worse. Okay. But then I think there were other questions just about in general, and they found it was like 70 or 80% of men said it, even while bottoming, made them feel better.
Yeah.
So I think it was like a weird survey probably of so many questions.
Yeah. And where, they were kind of answering two separate things.
But it was the only study where anyone was like, oh, it made them feel maybe even
and
worse.
And I then went to the actual study. I could only get access to the abstract, but it didn't say anything about that. And I was like, it must be in the study. But I was just like, that's not what the abstract makes it sound like this study's about. But what I sort of surmised is maybe, and this is total conjecture, there could be a world where when, for example, a top or bottom are using lube, that they're maybe feel like they can be more aggressive and as a result maybe end up hurting themselves more. You know, sometimes you feel like, oh,
I'm like clenching my asshole right now. Like, I'm just like, I saw this talk about lube. I'm like,
okay, but we can move on from this section.
there's some other studies that are kind of linked to that thought.
Yeah. How about before we get there, I wanted to talk about just the different kinds of personal lubricant. Like,
because there's a lot.
There are, but there's kind of like three main categories. And I honestly, personally, didn't really know the difference. And I, again, have always been embarrassed to go buy lube. And I feel like I've either just like relied on you getting it or just grabbed something off the counter not knowing, like, is this for my butt?
Yeah, I remember when I was younger and embarrassed, I bought the one that was like animal grade so that like if anyone thought, I'd be like, I could just be like
a
cleaning out my like dog's ass. Like, because there always would be like all this sexy kind of like shaped like a like dildo like pink and black, and it's like for her, and it's like for him. Ugh. Then there'd be like no, there was like no name
just
brand
a cow
like,
on
animal,
it.
Like, and I was like, well, I'm gonna use that so that no one knows.
Yeah,
but
it's
yeah.
for my work.
Yeah, like I'm a vet. Oy vey, all the in school for vetness.
Okay, so type number one is water-based. So these are water-soluble, which means they absorb, like dissolve in water, and they're the most common types of lubricant.
And if you're looking at lubrication, it would just say on it probably like water-based.
Water-based, yeah.
Okay.
And so these, you know, the viscosity of it can depend on how much water is actually in the product itself. But something you might notice with these kind of lubes is that they actually can absorb into your skin, and then they tend to dry out during use. So, like, if you've ever used a lube and it just kind of, like, goes away after yeah. a while, it probably was water-based.
I'd rather you can reactivate it with more slash saliva. Yeah.
Saliva or true? Water. That's what it was saying, was that it can, if you use some water or saliva, it might kind of, like, reactivate it. But I feel like...
I know. I read that to you and was like, interesting. I mean, it's good to know. I've never yeah. tried it myself.
Give it a try.
We might.
funny, it's like they are typically incompatible with sex in the water. Because they're like you can't use. I guess people have sex.
Oh, because it's just like like literally like
absorbs into the water.
Oh, whereas oil based would be more easily.
You could still like be lubricated underwater. Do you
know
what I mean?
Sex underwater. I'm just like, good job. Like I've never. Now I'm like, is that a podcast episode?
It could be sex under, or just like maybe you're at a waterfall and you're like beside it,
or
in the shower.
The
I love
shower
how we're like thinking in the
hot.
Depths of like
but
a
like
lake.
The sex like underwater thing, and just like I mean with gay sex it's like there's a lot of prep, and I'm just like I don't know, I'm just like no, we could just do this above water. Like
what do you mean?
It doesn't seem like something to me that's a like been offered up, or like the opportunity hasn't come up that much. And if it did, I think I'd be like, let's raise our dick and ass above the water just for a bit. Like I just feel like there's no part
yeah,
of me that's
yeah.
like
I'm like I'm like
that's
I already
I'm not a
douched.
Fish.
I don't need to
yeah.
shove more water up there.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, see the like fish underwater? Like this makes sense for them. We human, we on land, we have sex on land. But sorry, like I'm like don't want to get like dragged in the comments for being like, you're a kink shaming sex.
No,
water.
No. Like, good for you if water you can sex. Do that and it feels good and you're into that. I feel
but
like
don't
everyone
use water based lube
in the water. Yes. It wouldn't be that useful. It's not like you're going to die from it. It's just not going to be that helpful.
Or in the shower.
There are some risks to water based lube, and that is mainly some studies have found that it can damage human rectal tissue. Also because it absorbs so much, there's been some concerns around like it absorbing into your body. And I'll talk about this a little more later, but some have, in some studies, actively shown to reduce the replication of HIV, which is obviously a concern.
Wait, reduce the replication of HIV?
Sorry, increase if I
okay,
said
okay, yeah. I was like,
in
that
a bad
sounds...
way. No, in a bad way. So like the lubrication itself makes a better environment for HIV. If
okay,
it's
so
there.
This is when we're going to say always use lube with condoms.
Yeah, so that is the other angle. So they're often this kind of lube is often recommended because it's compatible with condoms. Like it doesn't cause as much slipping.
Water-based lube.
Works well. They
with
do not with
condoms.
Latex condoms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's more clear.
It doesn't weaken the condoms. And because of this, it's still recommended even when it comes to HIV, because ultimately the condom is what's preventing yeah. the HIV. Or obviously there are other means like drugs you can be on and other methods of prevention. But it's not the lube in the first place that you're like should be concerned about.
Yeah. Yeah. So to be clear, water-based lubrication works better with condoms because yes. it's not going to deplete or like make the condom weaker or slip off more easily, which is
yeah,
like
oil-based
oil.
Yeah, so oil-based is the next section, and there is an increased risk of breaking the condom and of it slipping off or just like slipping and, you know.
So because the water-based one might have that specific study saying that it could increase like the replication of HIV, it's very important that when you have water-based
lube. You're wearing a condom.
You're wearing a condom, or you're with someone who you know.
Oh, yeah, fair.
Like, has taken the right precautions. Like, yeah. There's so much talk about lube in these studies, and then they always at the end are like, wear a condom. I'm like, I'll start with wear a condom.
Yeah, I'm picturing using the lube on top of the condom.
Exactly,
but I guess
but
like,
I think a lot of people might not.
Yeah, both
I'm
straight and queer people.
With condoms. I cannot believe how many gay men are not.
Yeah, it's I think weird. I mean, I guess we've talked about this either on the pod yeah, or in episodes about have. Like the perpetuation of porn that is without condoms and stuff,
and even the idea of PrEP being like, okay, well, now I'm on PrEP, let's not use a condom. I'm like, there's other STIs, yeah. my friends. Yeah. Anyway, so all of this to say, these are talking about lubes like with condoms for safe sex.
I mean, that's what we're promoting. It's not necessarily what the studies are talking about. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, we're saying like, obviously that's your mode of protection if you're worried about getting an STI or HIV or anything like that. Okay. Number two, oil-based. So this would be like petroleum jelly, which is like very, you're going to get a good amount of lube here. Do you know what I mean?
That's the one that I was buying. Yeah. That was like animal grade. but there's other oil-based lubes, right? That are probably not petroleum jelly.
Yeah. It's just I just mean petroleum jelly is an example of one. Okay. And it was said like this could be ideal for people in monogamous relationships who don't require condoms.
I mean, gotcha, because it can make a condom slip off.
I shouldn't say monogamous relationship is the only situation where that's appropriate. I'm just saying if it's not a worry to you, like say you're only having sex with one person, you're not worried about getting a disease or having kids or whatever, like maybe this could be an option for you.
Sex is so funny. I feel like you have to be so careful. Like
I know,
because every time I say anything about it, I'm like, am I like doing something, saying something wrong?
No, yeah, we're just double checking what we're saying because A, I don't want to in any way ever be not sex positive, and B, everyone's in different situations and different kinds of relationships.
But even like sex positive, I'm like, what does that mean?
Well, I don't want to shame someone for something that they enjoy.
Yeah.
And like everyone can make their own personal decisions in their life if it only affects them.
Yes.
Obviously things like STIs can affect other people. And so I think education is like really important, but at the end of the day, like there are certain decisions you get to make for yourself. And some people are bothered by certain kinds of lubrications or condoms or get like, who knows? There's lots of exceptions out there.
I'm always like, yeah, I'm sex positive. But if someone were to ever be like, what does that mean? I'd be like, I'd fall over and faint. Like, I'm like, I actually don't know. I'm like, am I sex negative? Like, I don't know.
I think everyone thinks they're sex positive up until the point that they.
I'm literally like, you have to wear a condom. You have to, or else you can't get. It's like maybe people will be like, you suck. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why it's like to each their own in that regard. If you want our advice, we can give it, but it's like you do what you want to do. Again, oil based can also affect the elasticity of condoms. So going back to like, obviously like
you're going
to get
off.
You're going to get a lot of slipperiness, which could be good, but with condoms, it might be more complicated.
So stick to the water-based and condoms if you're maybe
unsure. The sort of final, and it said like some people prefer to use this because of like all the different additives that might be in other lubes. Like, and
you mean petroleum jelly?
Yeah. Like oil-based, I guess, can maybe be more simple.
I'm sorry, but like heating and cooling lubes.
Yeah, fucked up. But now
we just kink shamed. There, you're not sex positive.
Sorry, no. I
calling. Excuse me, as someone who happens to be in the heating lube community, I am pissed off at you.
Let me clarify what I was trying to say. I'm a baby when it comes to any kind of like too much fun down there, and it hurts me.
Like heating and cooling. Apparently, some have.
That's why I said it. Like, I think that's like fun if you're into it, and if you can. Like, to me, even, like, a little soap that has peppermint in it, I'm like, I'm on fire.
I know. Like, those, like, Dr. Schroeder's peppermint. Yeah. I remember where I was the first time I used
me
that on my
too.
Hole.
Was it in Detroit?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And we I was like, screaming. This can't be good.
So, like, I know. I always, when I'm buying lube, I'm like, okay, well, I'm skipping over the ones that have, like, a goddamn hot pepper on them. Because, like, what? That's not the vibe. But, like, also, I was reading about what was in those, and it was, like, really confusing. And there wasn't much research on it that, to me personally, I was like, I'm going to... avoid that.
When there's the hot
when it was like heating and cooling, when I was reading trying to find studies about the ingredients, it like wasn't very clear. There weren't very many studies. There's not that much studies on this in general.
Most lube is not regulated in the US on humans. It has to be tested on animals.
I know, apparently it's guinea pigs.
Oh, and then I know I'm always like, are they
and rabbits
up their butts?
I know, I'm so sorry. The saddest part about science is just
but
like,
actually I don't think it God. I don't think they are because I
what
feel
are they
like,
doing then?
I feel like I read using a lot of lubes as anal lube is considered like an what do you say? Like not the proper, they wouldn't say not the proper use. They're just saying like, this is not the intended use. So they're studying it for
my God.
Other cases.
I just can't believe how people are like, oh, you're going to go be the guinea pig. I'm like, they're literally testing lube on guinea pig.
That's really fucked up. Everything gets tested on animals. It's so
sad. I know. Should we do an episode about animal testing? And it'll be the most depressing episode ever.
Yeah.
But anyways, lube is good. Okay.
Okay. Final kind. Or at least in the three main. This is number three. Silicone.
Okay.
So it contains no water. It's not absorbed into the skin or mucous membrane. Cool. For this reason, it typically lasts longer. Like you don't need to reactivate it or use more. However, not all are certified latex safe, meaning like
with a condom.
Yeah. In a good way, there's at least no current evidence that shows they increase the risk of HIV transmission.
Okay.
Some advice: don't use silicone lubrication with silicone sex toys. Apparently, it can dissolve the surface, which makes like a really bad surface for bacterial growth. And then when you open a condom and it's pre-lubed, it's usually silicone lube because it lasts so much longer.
Oh.
So that's why, and it's typically compatible with latex. So like if a condom is pre-lubed, it's probably that.
Huh.
Hmm.
That's the other thing that like is cool about being gay is that like everywhere you go, there's just like lube and condoms everywhere, like in a little basket, like in a bar.
Yeah, every bar, like, every place. You're right.
I wish that there was lube in every bathroom because I'm like, it is good.
Yeah, and condoms and lube should just be like, yeah, wherever you could happen to accidentally have sex.
So the issues that I found with lube, like the like negative studies that I found, one was saying that they found a study of anal sex. People who consistently use personal lubricant for rectal intercourse had a higher prevalence of STIs.
Hmm.
But the study didn't account for the people who were using more lube were having more anal sex, were having more sex in general with increased
STIs. That's what I would think. Yeah.
That's like the same. That a lot of these studies, that happens a lot. It's like people who do poppers have like it leads to. Sorry. They found that people who do poppers have a high likelihood of having STIs.
Right.
But that is.
Obviously, like, the poppers are not giving them STIs.
Yes, and they're not taking into consideration the fact that people using poppers might be having more sex.
Yeah.
And it's just like, the study blatantly said that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't think that the lubrication should be linked to the increased STIs in anal sex.
I think it's probably one of those things that I don't think that's the case, but it probably just has to be investigated further, right? Like, those are the things you find in science studies. You find associations, you find relationships between things, but those are not necessarily causative, right? Like, just because people who are having more sex get more STIs, well, it probably is because they're having more sex, but it might not be.
Yeah.
There could be something else going on. So same with the lube. It's like, perhaps, like, here's what the study finds is people who use more lube have more STIs. Is it the lube or is it just that people who have more sex?
I mean, it's just good to know that. So if you read like a headline, it's not like, oh my God, lube causes STIs.
Yeah.
Although this one thing I read was that spermicidal lubricant,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't even know that was an option.
Is meant to like kill sperm?
Yeah. It said it can destroy vaginal and rectum cell membranes and in theory could increase STIs. But I didn't even know you could get spermicidal lube.
Would people use that to minimize STI or is that to stop getting pregnant?
No, it would be like a pregnancy thing.
Okay.
That's what they're saying is that they've found that it can destroy
vaginal
and rectal cells. So then they haven't done like an STI. They're like, in theory, could that
it
be
might
bad?
Aggravate.
But then I was like, I don't even know. Like, check to find out if it's spermicidal. I didn't know there was spermicidal lube in the world.
Oh, I actually did kind of know that. I think to talk about being pregnant, because obviously most of my purview of lube is like in the gay world and not thinking about pregnancy.
Yeah.
But obviously many people want to get pregnant and still might want to use lube. You know what I mean? Or like may still want to have comfortable sex when they're like trying to get pregnant. So there are certain lubes that if you're trying to get pregnant, you shouldn't use. Not because it's
interesting.
Like bad, but
no, that's really interesting.
For example, even it was saying like outside of the traditional lubes you would buy, saliva and olive oil are detrimental to sperm function.
Whoa.
So like if you're trying to get pregnant, it's better not to use saliva.
Oh my God, hitting the olive oil.
I know, I'm just
exciting.
Thinking of like being a kid. I don't know if we're going to go there.
No, we're not going to go there.
Being a young gay kid is crazy.
We're not going to go there.
These studies found that even some commercial lubes that label themselves as non-spermicidal have still been found to damage sperm function. So there are some vaginal lubricants like mineral oil, canola oil, and one was called
canola oil?
Yeah, and one's
called these are what you should be doing?
Hydroxyethyl cellulose-based lubricants are recommended
when you're trying to have a baby.
Yeah, for vaginal
How
sex.
How do you get the canola oil? It's time to make a baby.
Okay, that is just what I read in one thing, and I'm not promoting you go
I don't want
canola.
You to go to your kitchen cupboard for some reason. It's like, go
and canola
talk to your
oil
doctor.
Feels like pit.
I know. And also it's like, I love how they're like, not olive, canola. It's like a recipe. It's
yeah.
Like,
I want to be clear. Yeah. Like,
go talk to your doctor about the lube.
Honestly probably just one line I read in either like a paper or just an article. And I just wrote it down here. So I didn't like research having sex with canola oil.
I think the most interesting thing is that if you're trying to make a baby, it is worth thinking about the
lube, just being like asking your doctor and being like, wait a second, because this is something else that's going in there.
Yeah. And honestly, I bet even our, you know, friends in like heterosexual relationships who intentionally were trying to have kids probably did go through these things. You know, when you hear people are like trying to sync up certain cycles and having sex at certain
times, they would
have
thought about the lube.
Especially if you're having a hard time having kids, you probably talk to your doctor and your doctor probably goes like, try these other loops.
But no, I still think it's interesting. There still might be people out there who are just like, holy shit.
That
it's just like, it's
that.
Just the routine.
Yeah, it's
to
worth
get the
thinking
lube.
About, do some research and figure out what is best for you.
But as like gay men,
yeah,
lube has always been involved, right? Like, do people have
sex? Well, have you seen Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah, I have. And
it's not that realistic.
Did not understand what was going on there. Because you know what? They might have had canola oil because they were fishing and they could have made some fish with the canola oil. And that would have been really good for that scene.
To just like grab
like, just
some
like,
oil.
Because it was supposed to be raw, no pun intended. And I feel like there would have been something so real about him being like, go get the canola oil.
To be fair though, no, they were in the moment. And I think people do that.
But like, there's something so real about being in the moment
like, and being
having
like, it's
like,
not working.
We have a family and we like have to, I don't know, like this has to like work in a way that's like, wait, I don't know why I said we had a family. Now it's like too caught up in the plot. No, there's something about like the physics of that scene.
Oh my God.
In the end, this episode is about physics and friction. And I just think it could have added a layer of interest for them to go get the canola oil.
That's fair. The movie was too early in the like queer people being accepted on movies that I don't think they could be like, let's add a moment where the anal sex is so painful
so,
that they
so
realize
yeah.
that they actually need a lubricant and now they're panicking, rummaging around trying to find like butter.
Yeah. And I am like, I you're right. It was a lot to ask for something made in like 2003 or something. But it was a funny thing to watch as a gay man. I feel like a lot of gay men are like, well, that's not realistic, even though it was like a beautiful scene.
But I think, to me, it's not necessarily realistic. But if you've never also had gay sex before, or like anal sex, I should say, as they
you might not
hadn't,
have lube.
You wouldn't think about it. You might not even realize, like, what's it going to feel like when we try this? Like,
well, Jake Gyllenhaal took it well.
I need to rewatch that.
It's so good, but it's so depressing. Like, you know, the narrative around like, we need queer stories where like, they don't just get like absolutely obliterated
depressing.
And ripped in half by horses. It's like, that is what actually that movie is. That it is beautiful and amazing,
right,
but it
tragic
has aged in like an interesting way.
Yeah, it's nice to see a queer movie that is like positive now.
But like, are there any? Now
well,
I'm thinking about it.
I just
like,
mean
like,
there. Yeah, and there's like, you know, Young Royals, my favorite TV show.
What?
Young Royals, like that Netflix. So it's still like conflict and drama.
But yeah.
But you're like, overall, you're like happy that these
I know,
people
I need
get
to watch
like,
more kids. I feel
love.
Like it's the adult gay movies adult. That are like
traumatic.
Murderous and traumatic. But no, there are other good ones, right?
I think there are lots, and even there's just so much queer representation, like even watching Drag Race, you know what I mean? Like there's lots of queer people on television now that are not just, actually, I mean, Drag Race does actually exploit them for their most traumatic stories as well.
They're like, now look at yourself as a kid. What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? Say it to the kid.
However, having said that, there's still many beautiful, just positive, amazing moments about friendship and like kinship and stuff like that. And I think that's
And there's
more
talk
prevalent.
About lube.
Yeah, I guess.
What are like famous lubes? Like Astroglide? I feel like there's gay
KY man. Jelly. That's I think the famous
There's
one.
Like gay man lube that's probably like Axe body there, spray advertising that I don't know about.
There are specifically lubes that are labeled anal lubes, and that's usually because they're thicker, like as opposed to rather than more liquidy. They're more like jelly.
Also, you can use it for masturbation.
Oh, yeah.
Which I actually only started doing recently and was like, I have been missing out on my goddamn life. Like, what the hell? Like, every movie, it's like, get the Vaseline or like, get the hand, whatever.
Yeah, people say you can actually use hand cream, not for sexual
but
stuff.
But for masturbation.
Yeah.
But it's like, it is funny that I'd never even thought about that.
I don't need to go there, but it's not for me.
Lube and masturbation?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just not
well,
me.
It wasn't for me until I turned like
32. I'm not saying I haven't tried it. I've tried it and I'm always like, yeah, it could be better without it.
Oh my God, he likes the raw hand.
Okay. So I don't want to end on the risks, but I was just going to, I had one last little section about a few of the risks that are worth being aware of and studies that have shown risks. So like, for example, some anal lubes are labeled as numbing, which they say is like not necessarily good because you may not be aware of injury. Yeah. Like, which obviously in the moment you might think is
numbing.
Good.
Like what? Like lidocaine or something?
I don't know what's in it, but it obviously just like makes you not feel as much pain.
Whoa.
Which you might think is a good thing, but obviously it's like when you take pain meds, when you're in pain, it's like the pain is sometimes there to tell you that you're like doing damage, right?
Interesting.
In animal testing, one study
on guinea pigs. Yeah,
one study in particular did find that herpes transmission was 9-fold with the use of lube compared to no lube.
And this is without a condom, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're not talking about using condoms. I'm saying that's why sometimes they're like, is the lube providing an environment to transmit more easily?
In animal? That is... Okay.
I know.
That needs to be studied more.
I'm also just like so curious.
Because it's an animal thing, it's like, okay, you would want to know what the relation is in humans, and then again it's just like wear a condom.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you
but again it's education, you know. Yeah, it's just like people can make their own decisions as long as you know what the possible risks are and everyone involved is consensual. That's what I think.
Yeah.
In sex 2007
is so interesting.
Yeah, it's very because you're right you haven't said this yet, but it's like it's taboo and it's also like part of sexual appeal can be, you know, just in the moment or being a bit risky. But then that can also tap and slide into spaces that are unsafe for somebody.
And
but
like fetish and kink, I like don't know how to talk about it properly.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just don't. Like I just know that.
Yeah,
like,
we should. I know when we did an episode on fetishes, some people reached out and they were like, you should bring some like people on the pod who like either study that or like are part of those communities. Because it might bring another angle that we aren't like super aware of or not that educated on. Which we definitely, I would be happy to revisit that as a podcast episode and bring somebody who like could help us navigate how to talk about those even outside of the science of it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It feels like it's a hyper like, I don't know what the word is. It's like a hyper confusing thing to talk about more than even like quantum physics. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm like, or like dark matter. It's like there's something about like sexual like kinks and fetishes that I'm like, that's actually more confusing to me than like,
because there are really big social implications.
Oh, the light went out or anything. That's what it is. Like kink community's mad.
No, I think everyone is aware of that. And we're in a world where at least it's being discussed a lot more. And I think there is a lot more positivity around sex and education. But that leads to more people talking about it and giving their opinions, which we're even doing right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, that leads to people who feel like they're being either left out of that conversation or misrepresented in that conversation or not seen properly in that conversation.
And sex is just so, like, big. It's just, like, it's so part of everyone's life and like watching a goddamn
even when
TV
it's not,
show or whatever.
Even people, like, not to put this on anyone else, but some people are like not interested in sex, but that still is a thing. You know what I mean? Or some people, like, you know, in the gay world now, it's like you can be a side. You can be somebody who like isn't.
Wait, what's that again?
It's like you're not a top or a bottom. You don't want to have anal sex.
Yeah.
But you're like down to do other stuff. I think that's what it is.
That's a side. Because wasn't there like a day when Grindr was like, you can write your side.
Yeah, I think that means.
Wait, like, but does that mean like you can still rub a dick or do you not even want to rub a dick?
I think side means you just don't want to have anal sex.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to do my little research after this.
Well, because then there's asexuality, which I think is like so interesting.
So even in the conversations around what we don't like, it can often relate back to sex.
True.
Okay, finishing up my risks. Or the risks that I was going to talk about. I did mention like the rectal tissue issues. So certain lubricants were found to do significant damage. It said major shedding of cells from tissue samples, biopsied 60 to 90 minutes after lubricant application was observed. This didn't say specifically, but I think that probably was the water-based. But then they're saying water-based is better with condoms.
But like, would there be less shedding and damage with no lube?
I think that's their point. Yeah.
That's so confusing to me.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, wouldn't there be like way more aggravation?
Well, and also all the positives about lubrication that exact reason.
Yeah. I don't know.
But that's
like,
mostly on vaginas. So I don't know.
And it's interesting to talk about things at like a cellular level because, of course, then you're evaluating how like a quote unquote chemical, which may not be necessarily like toxic or something, is impacting cell tissue. But there's also something to be said about like physical trauma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like having a different kind of impact on cell tissue or like function at large. not necessarily on individual tissues.
Yeah.
Okay. Final
but that
thing.
Risk would also again be relating to STI, so it's like wear a condom.
Yeah. And then there's one final thing, lubricants that contain the ingredient chlorhexidine, which is an antibacterial agent, has been shown to kill three species of lactobacillus.
Oh, like good bacteria?
Yeah, basically in the vagina, which is like, it can make, how do you say this, like unbalance the natural flora, which could lead to infections such as bacterial vaginosis. So
say that chemical again.
It was called chlorhexidine. Which was an antibacterial agent. In much the same way, like even antibacterial soaps and stuff, sometimes it's like, it's maybe not worth, like, you don't have to kill all the things in your body. Like, not all bacteria is bad. Mm-hmm. And so that's just worth knowing, especially if you have a vagina. I assume
general,
it might do the same thing in your anus. I don't know.
In general, though, it helps with pleasure.
Yeah.
It helps decrease pain.
Yeah.
It helps decrease, in many cases, also the physical damage of sex.
Totally, yeah. Obviously, me too. Obviously, having a positive sexual experience, I would value, unless we knew these were like causing cancer and doing these. That is not the case, right? Like, these are like some risks that come with using it, particularly with anal sex.
Slap on a condom and use some water-based lube. Let's go. Without chlorhexidine.
Or silicone. That was kind of like the other variety that didn't have those associations that was almost like a better alternative.
And that's just not on your sex toy that's made out of silicone.
That was kind of like their only thing, but the only thing I came across, I was like, be careful with that. Because that's what's already on a condom. If it's cool. If it's dipped in lube.
I love lube.
I love lube.
I do. Like, I just am like, I don't know. It's something I learned when I turned
30. I want to go to like a sex store and look and be like, have someone teach me and then actually find. Because I've never really explored this area. I've just kind of like taken what I can get.
Yeah, I haven't been to a sex store in years.
Me either.
That would just be fun to do, like just eat an edible and just be like, what are the options?
I definitely am not eating an edible.
Okay, well,
I'd be absolutely losing my fucking mind.
From when I used to go to the one when I was young and like discovering my sexuality, it had theme park energy. There's just so many
things to look at.
And they're all things that you're not seeing in other stores. Yeah. Whereas like, and if you go to like any pharmacy or any store, period, you're like, oh, I've seen this before.
Yeah,
like,
every aisle is the same.
Yeah, it's like a grocery store has a pharmacy section or whatever. But when you go to a sex store, you're like, well, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I mean, and we should also go to one like in the gayborhood here because I feel like it'll be catered towards like things that we all want
to
use.
Yeah, the one that I used to go to in Toronto was on Yonge Street. Reach out if it's still there. Because it was like adjacent enough to the queer gay area, but like not exactly in it. So like obviously like a straight person who wasn't comfortable with their sexuality could walk in. But it was still like if clearly, in the large scale of Toronto, it's where
there's a whole
are.
Section of all like gay related sex stuff.
Yeah.
Or just do you remember the name or it was just like on Yonge
It was like Sexpectation or something like that. It was everyone would know, like it was like a 4-story building on Yonge Street
near
all the strip clubs. It was fun. I used to go there as a kid and just be like,
I grew up in a small town. We didn't have any of this.
Yeah, honestly, that is one thing. I got to go in there and like,
it's probably why I'm like literally still shake when I'm like buying lube. I'm like,
yeah,
I swear it's not for me.
I would just go in and get like kind of hard because I'd be like, there's like porn everywhere on the, like not actually porn, but it'd be like a hot guy's body beside the dildo of that you're buying, because the dildo you're buying is supposed to be that hot guy's dick.
No, that makes sense. It's like walking through an underwear aisle and you're like, I'm so turned on.
Yeah.
Especially as a young kid who's like closeted.
Yeah, like, I guess we're gonna go buy socks again, right? Because they're near something else we like.
One last thing I'll say is when I was young enough that you knew me, like so in university, I think I was still like, I don't want to have to buy condoms and lube. A, I was cheap, and B, probably too nervous to buy it, and would like, you know, gay clubs have them all over, and I would literally pocket like hundreds of them.
Yeah, yeah, I remember doing that
They were
too.
Free. I wasn't like stealing them, but I would be like, this is my
snack. That's good.
In the winter, I would just like put them in my
jacket.
That's
so good. That is such a good indication of how that works. Putting them
in. It's available.
I think that condoms and lube should be in every goddamn bar and restaurant. Like, why not?
You're right. And it was in the bathroom, so it was a place that wasn't like out in the open where everyone would see you taking it. Obviously, there's people in the bathroom that can see you if you're with them.
But even like a gorgeous, classy, hip restaurant that only has natural wines, you go in, they have their like really pretty wallpaper, and they just have this little bowl where there's like, thinking about the Aesop soap and then a bowl of condoms and lube, that's a conversation starter. You walk back, A, if you're on a Tinder date, it's like, okay, there's a conversation starter that could help with the sex. B, it could, it's like, it's cool. It's alt. It's safe. It's sexually positive. Right. I like it.
I don't disagree at all. I think obviously restaurants and bars are trying to define their feeling and vibe, and that might create a vibe that they're like not going for. You know what I mean?
I know, but I
but I think it's a very positive thing to do, but it might be like insinuating like, oh wait, are we supposed to be having sex here?
Well, okay, but it's gorgeously designed. There's like a Swedish there's like a Swedish like wood underneath the sink with like kind of interesting like designs where you're like, what is that? And then you like lift up like this gorgeous wood like shelf, and it's like underneath there's just like some condoms, and you're like, oh, that's what that is.
You're right.
And there's also tampons, and there's also all these other things.
I think you're right. I think part of the reason it's so prevalent in like the gay areas is because of the high risk, right? Of
what are you saying? You say gay people are obsessed with sex?
No, but in particular with like HIV transmission,
yeah, true.
Or even STI, and like and the way that gay people engage in sex, like on one hand, it's a scary thing, but another thing, it's like also beautiful that it is like a community that's trying to look out for itself and say like, let's actually just be smart and have these available.
Yeah.
Even that like governments and doctor's offices in queer neighborhoods like will have more access to those things because it's like more quote unquote important because it's more needed. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe in other bars, they're like, well, we're not actually hitting the target area because people here either already have access to their own condoms or aren't looking for them or are not at a high risk of something like an STI or accidental pregnancy. I don't know.
I still, if just I became mayor of Toronto, that's what I would do. I have condoms and lube everywhere. And then I'd be like, and I quit. That's all I needed. Okay.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We hope Rihanna was great.
Yeah, let us know. Well, we'll know by now. Okay, see you guys next week.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.